Let's stand as we continue reading what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, continuing on the theme that began last week, but going deeper into the good news of Jesus. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is God's word, and you can be seated. So again, we're continuing on this theme that the Corinthians were distracted by worldly ways. We can understand that because they lived in really a global city, a city that had been destroyed at one point and rebuilt as a Roman colony, and a city that was really a port city and a place of a coming together of so many different ideas and so many different kinds of people. And they sort of tried to make a bypass around the city by cutting a great trench, but it took until the 1800s for that canal to be finished, believe it or not, that was begun during the time of Paul's ministry. So there they were on the edge of the sea with the whole world coming to them with so many different ideas. And so they heard the latest thoughts, and some famous speakers would come and speak, and they would hear their eloquence, and people would be in awe. And yet, out of all of that, everyone that Paul is writing to, when they heard the message of Jesus, are you tracking with me? When they heard the message of Jesus, they heard something unlike what they had ever heard before. And Paul, knowing this history, he says that he came there in simplicity, right? He came there in humility, not wanting to get this wrong, but focused on just the very core of what we must know, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul came capable of very eloquent speech, but most of the time, focusing on what was simple and tried and true, and in evidently a very prayerful way, trying to break through the layers of worldliness and worldly thinking that were there. And as I talked about extensively last week, he did not want their interest and their excitement and their response to be based on the packaging of the message. He wanted the powerful truth of God to penetrate all of that, and for their response and their foundation to be upon his word and on his truth. And so now, for them to be seeking other voices and to be enamored with philosophical ideas would be to move away from what had moved them and called them out from the world in the first place. He says in verse 6, and let's read this together. It'll be on the screen. "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." You see, I'm so glad that Paul wrote it this way, because when he says this age, he doesn't just mean the time period he's living in. He means the time between the time that Jesus has come and until he comes again and sets up the fullness of his kingdom. In between those times, whatever worldly wisdom is popular, it's only useful where it would coincide with the eternal truth of God that will stand forever. Wherever any government or ruler would seem to be powerful or important, it would only be to the extent that they would be aligned with the one who is the King of all kings, who is coming again. Because worldly wisdom and worldly power are literally coming to nothing. That's what he wrote to this church. And then going on to verse 8, he makes clear his point in case they didn't understand or needed to be reminded. But again, let's read this together. "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Right? The game was over as soon as they decided to put to death Jesus. They demonstrated their ignorance. They demonstrated that they did not have any special insight to share. So, to those who had accepted Jesus as Lord, it was just simply absurd to now begin going to try to seek the approval from the world. The rulers had rejected Jesus, and they nailed him to a cross, demonstrating their ignorance and their unworthiness before God. The philosophers were still stuck on their age-old questions, always seeking, always questioning, but never finding. Now, because it's much more convenient to always be asking questions, it's much more challenging to admit that you found an answer that now you need to try to work out in your daily life. So Paul's indicating it's an empty path compared to living with fullness in the kingdom of God. So knowing that the Corinthians were especially vulnerable, Paul came to them, as I said, with the simple message of Jesus, his death, his resurrection. So the question was live here. Were they really going to fall again for empty philosophy? Were they really wanting the approval of those in power, those in authority, who had literally crucified their Lord, the one who had saved them from their sins? Well, looking back, we can see how foolish indeed that would be. But do we have eyes to see in our own age? Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today as well? Because unless we guard ourselves in the same way, we can tend to get focused on what's right in front of us and focus and care only about that. As I just had you read part of this before, I want to read it for you again. "But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed from the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So there's a hiddenness to God's wisdom. It's hidden from us before we come to Jesus and can be difficult to understand until the truth about Jesus has been revealed to us. But evidently, as Paul is writing to the church, many years after the fact of being established in faith, it could become hidden again to those who are looking in the wrong places. We worry about so many things sometimes. And you know what? Most of the things that we worry about, they end up working out okay, right? Most things that we allow to be at the forefront of our mind early in the morning on a day maybe aren't the most important things going on. Few of them are truly ultimate concerns that will remain. And when we first come to faith, well, sure, these things about Jesus and the goodness that he's done for us, this is right at the forefront of our experience, and we're just in awe of it all. And every day we're attentive to it, and it feels so new and fresh and alive. But as time goes on, our minds remember the patterns they used to follow. And if we follow into that pattern where we are easily distracted, well, then there are an infinite flow of questions and concerns that could come to hold our attention. And if we aren't bringing out the things of God and reminding ourselves of them, if we aren't moving on in our faith, then very quickly we'll just get consumed with the concerns of the day. And here's the thing. Here's the trick. Here's why it costs us something. Because politicians and celebrities, they understand this. And so they seek to hold our attention and entertain us with these things that we might be prone to worry about, presenting themselves as a solution to this. Just watch a movie, just watch a little Netflix, or just vote for me and I'll make your problems go away. Even in the medical profession and among business executives, they have learned to take advantage of people's fears and concerns and market their services in that place. Because we think that way and we tend to resolve things that way, where is there room for God to slip in? Because there's very few voices in our midst who are reminding us to look to God to meet all of our needs. Amen? There are very few voices among us who will say, reorient your thinking to remembering the faithfulness of God and open your heart to all that he has for you. Now, the world is saying we're just one purchase away from happiness, one vacation away from peace of mind. Or maybe there's someone we want to impress, a hero or a speaker whom we admire. We put them up on a pedestal. But maybe we start to overlook the great people that God has put right in our lives today. We stop listening to the voices that might really be able to help us. It can range anywhere from downright idolatry that we hold toward the things and ideas of the age, or it can also simply be a failure of imagination, a failure to understand and be reminded of the greatness of the things of God in our lives. It's something so simple to adjust. All we have to do is take a little time to open the Word of God and read it once again. It will come flooding back to you. Amen? All you have to do is take a moment to get quiet in prayer. And we're so good at our laundry list of all the things we want, right? And we'll just unleash that to God while we're driving along or doing whatever we want to do. But if we really want to see change in our lives, we're going to have to get quiet enough before him to sense the leading of his voice. This is what Paul is getting at. The deep things of God are only acquired when we're tuned into the opportunity to hear from God. Make the effort to invest more in your church family, where you have people who really love you and want to care. Make the effort to focus on those who can help, that we can help, excuse me. Because if we're not helping anyone else, then our lives are not going to move forward because the grace of God is not moving through us. But it's just simple. If we read the Word, if we spend time in prayer before God, if we're with God's people and together serving needs in the world, then all of it stays fresh. And we see what's valuable and most important. It's not that complicated, really. But how could we let ourselves miss it? It's the message Paul is writing to the early church. but it's what the Spirit is saying to us in our age as well. Because here's the truth. God revealed unimaginable blessings through Jesus. Let's just read that together. God revealed unimaginable blessings through Jesus. Literally, it said, no human mind has conceived the things that God has in store. It begins with Jesus Christ crucified. And so that's where Paul began in his ministry, understanding that we are guilty before God for the things that we have done wrong, that there is a problem of sin, that even more importantly than that, it has severed and broken all of our relationships. It's made our relationships with other human beings difficult and complicated because there's not reconciliation and openness. There is fear and self-protection. It's put a great chasm between us and our holy God as we have clinged to the things that will not take us closer to who God is and what God has for us. And until we bridge that gap, until we allow the love of God to heal and renew us, until we let it show us new ways how to live out this love, then we cannot begin on the journey of faith. And so Paul began there. Jesus Christ and him crucified, fear and even trembling in his voice, that they would understand that this matters, that this is the only way. And now he's reappealing to that as he's saying, that seems like old hat to you now. It seems like, oh yeah, got that, God forgive me. But now I see other ideas that are interesting to me. And Paul is saying, no, it's better than anything out there. It begins with the foundation of the forgiveness of our sins, but it continues on to see all that God wants to pour into our lives. Hope and love and strength for daily living. Our minds may be enamored with what is entertaining and interesting, but our minds fool us at that point. And let's face it, when you don't have any big problems you're dealing with, if you're making it through life and it's kind of going okay, or you're just worried about a bunch of stuff that's not actually a threat to you, then watching a movie or just thinking about yourself, these are things that could take that immediate concern away. And so you begin to see what dazzles you the most. But life is serious, and life is headed somewhere. And eventually we are all going to meet God, evidently. And eventually we are all going to meet challenges that we do not have the resources to face. And so we must learn to trust and rely on the blessings that God has provided for us in Jesus. Amen? And these are greater than what we could ever imagine, greater than what the best team of writers could ever come up with. We have the promise and the hope of glory. We have, I think what he's hinting at here is resurrection. Jesus having power over sin and death and hell. Amen? That great appointment that all of us have one day has a giant remedy. And Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. But he's also hinting at the great big enterprise that God has going on, and that is making all things new. And where this world is decaying, not turning away from it, but engaging in helping and blessing and sharing the good news. Well, that's what continues down to today. And Paul reveals something near the end of this passage that is so important for us in our age to keep in mind. That is that God continues to reveal his blessings to us through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And this was new. And for us, it's something we need to be continually reminded of. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that makes the presence and immediacy and wonder of God available to us now. Verses 9 through 12, he wrote, However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Now listen carefully here. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. So I'm going to pause for just a second here. Paul is saying these aren't clever ideas we downloaded from the internet and attributed to God. Amen? Paul is saying these come by only one path, and that's through the Spirit. But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So it's an act of revelation whenever we learn new truth in the Lord. And it comes directly from God to us through the ministry and presence of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why this is revealed among the mature. Another way of saying that, those who have been made complete. Another way of thinking about it are those who've gone on in terms of sanctification in their journey of faith. So let's keep humbling ourselves before God. Let's keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Let's not get bored with God's rhythm for life. When the world starts to look more attractive, just remember their ideas fall short. And that's why you found yourself at the feet of Jesus. Amen? And that's where you want to stay. Remember, the powers of this age can never compare, and they always get it wrong. Just as they rejected Jesus back then, they will not yield to him now, and so they are not our salvation. But he reveals what is lacking in every age. I'm going to say that again. He reveals what is lacking in every age, his radical love, his amazing forgiveness, his triumph on the cross over evil and violence, and his apparent weakness to those who were watching, overcoming the strength of an empire. Amen? Let us value those who stand for truth and for conscience. Let's not miss what God is doing in unlikely places. No human mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It's better than any retirement plan. Maybe you've got a good one. Congratulations. Maybe you're still scraping it together and you're just not sure how this whole thing's going to cash out. Well, either way, Jesus has something better and something so much more. Jesus is making all things new. Amen? It's not by the news that we get this. It's not through afternoon TV that we're going to discover the secret to a better life. Verse 11 and 12, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This morning, let the Spirit reveal to your heart that you have everything you need through Jesus. Amen? So then the question comes, are you in tune with the Holy Spirit? Are you putting yourself in a position where God can continue to reveal what you need to know to you? It requires believing in God, and I mean that in the very active, ongoing sense. Not in the sense of answering a survey question, right? Or just generically saying, yeah, I believe in God. No, actively believing in God and being aware of God's presence. It requires letting that belief grow into trust, where God is not just an idea, but is someone that you are leaning on, someone that you know, someone that you follow and trust their advice. It requires opening yourself up to Jesus at deeper and deeper levels. Now understand, the Holy Spirit enters your life when you first confess and begin to follow Jesus as Lord. Right away, the Spirit comes in and takes up residence. He does an initial cleanup job, forgiving you of your sins, cleansing you of unrighteousness, restoring you to right relationship with God. But the Holy Spirit starts revealing things to you in Scripture and through fellowship with others, and even at times in prayer. But understand this, don't let it get too weird. Your times of prayer and the things God reveals to you, go back to the Word and make sure that it's confirmed there. Make sure that it's confirmed among the body, right? Together we discern what God is saying to us. But as we do that, it's up to you how far things go in your life. You can say to God, well, I mean, it's been good up to now, Lord, but I'm not really interested in anything more. I mean, it sounds just crazy to say that, right? But is that what you're letting yourself say somewhere in the deep resources of your mind and heart? God is a gentleman. You can choose to grow in grace or not. But you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings God's amazing grace home to rest in your life, giving you insight and power to live every day. So say yes to the infinite blessings of God. And that involves saying no to some of the voices in the world. Say yes to the Spirit revealing more and more to you as you live and grow and serve and love together. So would you bow your heads? The Holy Spirit is with us today as always. He wants to speak into your life in this moment. And let it come to you as a powerful and loving invitation to a life of so much more. Let it also come to you as a choice that you're making to not be quite so bedazzled by the world, to open yourself up to what begins with the very simple things of God, and not forgetting their power and their wonder for you, but also longing to learn some of the deeper things of God, of trusting Him, finding staying power, the ability to love and bless others in a way that makes a difference. The things your heart longs to know are found at the feet of Jesus and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This morning, with your eyes still closed, ask yourself and let the Spirit ask you, is the Holy Spirit welcome in the depths of your life? Is the Holy Spirit welcome in every room of your home, in every room of your life? Is the Holy Spirit free to guide you? And will you listen and respond? The answers to these questions reveal the true condition of our life before the Lord. Paul says, don't slide back into a casual connection with the world and a distant relationship with God. It's better than you can even imagine to press in and let the Spirit have His way. So this morning, if you are opening your life in a new and deeper way to the movement of the Holy Spirit, would you raise your hand and just acknowledge it before Him? Thank you. Thank you. Father, all over this room are people reaching up for more of your grace. So would you now pour out the presence of your Holy Spirit and begin to do a deeper work in the lives of these who are hungering for more. They've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, as they continue to reach out and to seek you for all your worth, may they have that experience of opening themselves deeply and fully to the guidance and the blessings and the power of God. for some who've done that, but it's gotten a little stale and it's been a while, then I just pray you'll rush in with your mighty presence to renew and refresh. And may we now remember what it feels like, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and to be filled with more and more of you. And may we be able to show what it looks like, a life fully surrendered to you. We've got a long ways to go, each one of us, Lord, and yet we have every moment available to us to move into it in fullness. So thank you so much for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And thank you so much for the ministry and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And thank you so much, Lord, that it's better than we could ever ask for or imagine the things you have in store for those who love you. Fill us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Be glorified in us, and may we find happiness and peace in you. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful and holy name. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand together.